It is good to be with you, church. We are in a series over Lent called When You Pray. And we as a church understand that we are called to be people of prayer, and we want to become people of prayer. And Jesus often said this in his Sermon on the Mount. He said three words, when you pray, as an expectation that his people would like him continue to pray and to seek the Father. And so this is our desire as people and disciples of Jesus. We have a paradigm here at Pine Lake that we like to say this is what it looks like to be a disciple, to be an apprentice of Jesus, is that we have threefold, is be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. And so this year we've been talking about this idea of what does it look like to become like Jesus? And if we know, and if you've read scriptures, you understand that Jesus was consistent in prayer with the Father. And I was thinking about this as we talked about this idea of prayer and prayer. And I grew up praying like four things. Particularly, I had in high school freshman year, I had 7:30 in the morning we started, and I had chemistry first period. Lord have mercy on my soul and the teacher's soul. And I remember throughout the entire time, I was like, Lord, I do not like this. This isn't my thing. But Lord, would you just give me a B? Just give me a B. Every time we had a test or a quiz or a lab, I'd be like, Lord, I'm just looking for a B. I don't need an A. I just need a B. And the Lord answered my prayer with a C. Or maybe I answered my own prayer with a C. But I think about that sometimes, like with the things that we ask for. Like as a father, I ask often, I'm like, Lord, would you give me patience? And then I have a kid that comes up, Daddy, 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 why? Could you tell me why? Why? Do this. Why? 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 And I'm like, oh my gosh, kid, we're going to play a game. It's called 20 questions. That's all you get. Right? Or Lord, or some, maybe you're like, you don't have kids, and you're like, Lord, man, I'm in this season where I just need to be kind. Lord, would you allow the fruit of the spirit of kindness to come over my soul, and then you drive on I-5. Ooh, Lord. And everybody wants in last minute, and you're like, the Lord's like, you asked for kindness, right? And you're like, here, exercise it. And I mean, I'm just like, we're praying for things, and then the Lord gives you, and you're like, I don't know if I want that. But I think about this thing, that this practice that we have, and that I grew up with, and maybe you grew up with as the church, is that we are asked to pray for things. Like, you're maybe asked by other people, hey, would you pray for me? Or I want to pray for peace. I want to pray for patience, I want to pray for kindness, goodness, I want to pray. But this morning, we want to talk about this idea of what does it look like to pray not just for things, but moving from praying for to praying through. That when you have the honor to be asked to pray for something, that you really understand the deep desire of what people are asking you to do is not just to pray for them, but pray them through. And so this morning, we're going to look at Joshua chapter 6 as our text this morning. And so if you have your Bible, we'd love for you to turn to it, whether it's physical or digital. We love being a church that has our faces and our eyes on the living word and scriptures. But if you don't, we'll have it on the screen as well. So this is what it says, Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites, and no one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delighted Jericho, I have delivered Jericho into your hand among its kings and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark, and on the seventh day march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. And then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Even now, God, as we pray, there are many things in our hearts and our minds that we want, we need, we desire. We have good things that we want. Some of those things can come from many different places, but many of them just come from you. So we acknowledge that right now, Lord. What are we praying for? God, as your people, as your disciples, as one who wants to be with you, become like you, it is our prayer that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive the word that you have for us. So, Father, come. Send your Holy Spirit. We ask this in your name. Amen. Friends, when we talk about this idea of praying, when it seems like prayer is something that is a practice, is an exercise that we do, sometimes we battle this idea of common sense and logic. If we operated by common sense and logic, it would crush our prayers. Like, we live in a place where a lot of times what we see, feel, touch, and we experience gives us feedback and information that tells us, we receive information and we receive and say, are we going in the right direction? Are we going in the place? Oftentimes it's what we feel. And this is what the world and the evil one will preach at us as a gospel of common sense and logic, that it is up to you to parse out, to figure out the clues based upon you feel. But then when you talk about prayer, if common sense is the way and lens in which we filter all the things, that if you feel alone in your prayers, common sense would say you are alone. That when you don't hear from God, common sense and logic would say God's not speaking anymore. That if you don't see the prayers that you are praying answered, common sense would ask the question, why do you keep praying? The world would even ask the question to us, if you have prayed for things to change in this world, why is it continually going down the way of destruction? Do your prayers even work? The world might ask us then, is that if you're asking for healing, and if people who are good and committed to the way of Jesus, why are they dying? Why are they being slaughtered? Why isn't the Lord protecting his people? Common sense and logic would crush, would sense to move us away from prayer because we say that we don't believe. This is even what happens with Israel. In Numbers, before they even cross the river, this is what happens. It says, but the men who had gone up with him and looked at the land that God was going to give them, he said, we can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. And they said, the land we've explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw were of great size. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes as we looked the same to them. Like, this is what the people of Israel said. Hey, look, our eyes, ears, and all of our senses says this isn't possible. We shouldn't even do this. They are stronger. They are bigger. What we see, feel, and hear will tell us the outcome that is going to happen. And they believed it. I mean, if you look at it, Jericho itself and how it was built, you would ask yourself the question, Lord, what are you thinking? These walls are too big and you just want them to walk around and your battle plan is horns and feet. Excuse me, did you not get the memo, Lord? They have walls, not just one, two. And you want us to go in with horns and priests. Like, that is not a good strategic plan. The walls are stronger. The people are stronger. This makes no sense. Lord, what are you doing? God's people disregarded their experience for what they perceive. They have experienced God in mighty wonders, in plagues, in coming down on mountains, in parting seas, but yet their what they perceive trumps their experience. God operates never on just what you can see. But we often forget. And this is what happens. What God calls his people to do is where common sense would crush our prayers, experience takes another lap. Like, this is what I've experienced here, and what I know to be true as living in the Pacific Northwest. I've come to a question. Friends, common sense and logic would say, please don't be Mariners fans. They're just good enough to get close, and then they crush your dreams. But yet, my experience of you says, I'm going to, every year, we're 1-0. We're going to do it. And I look at you and I'm like, good for you. Good for you. You are people of faith. You do not live by sight, but live by faith. I am so proud to be here in the Pacific Northwest. I have learned not to live by sight, but to live by faith alone. Woo, amen. I think we're done here. But like literally, like we as people of God do not operate by sight. We live by faith. Where common sense would say stop, we go. Even when you can't see, hear, taste, or feel, you take another lap. And see, this is the thing that I think that we need to understand that Israel has done that we have forgotten as a church. That the reason that Israel takes another lap is not that they have the next word or the new word that is going to affirm or fulfill what they are trying to do. They trust the word that came before. They trust the last word. They trust the last word because in Joshua, it talks about this. It goes, on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and they marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. Except that day, they circled it 7 times. And when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed. And so everyone charged straight in and they took the city. Could you imagine waking up on day one and saying, everybody get ready, let's start walking. And you're talking about walking fully clothed in all of your armor, carrying the ark with trumpets, 1/2 mile every day. It's not that long. But then you like walk around and nothing happens. And you wake up day 2 and nothing happens. Day 3, nothing happens. And then could you get this? Like people like Joshua gets up and goes, hey guys, we're going to walk. Not once, 7 times. Like, excuse me, 3.5 miles carrying all this? Like this makes no sense. But their experience of God, their experience of knowing Yahweh, who has done incredible great things, tells them to take another lap. When normally you and I might stop at lap 6, they take another lap. Because they've experienced a God that goes outside of their own cognitive abilities and they start walking again. Here's the thing. They remembered what God had said. God had said at the beginning, before they even entered the land, he said this. I have already given you the land. Before they even crossed the seas, I have given you this land. This land marked with milk and honey, I have already given you this land. And so when they cross over, when they build the monument in the middle of the sea to remind themselves that God has done great things and he will continue to do great things, not because I have been told already what he's going to do, but I have told before it happens. So many of us want the next word when Israel tells us to trust the last word. I have already given it to you. I've already given it to you. And if giving it to you means walking around a city, blowing trumpets, I have already given it to you. Their experience causes them to take another lap when our logic and common sense would say, we don't have the battlement. We don't have the siege armies and machines that we need to take this city. But they remembered the Lord had already given them this land. I mean, friends, is that enough for you? Is it enough for you that your experience with God within scriptures, within your own experience, to not just stop praying, but to pray again? But that when you read scripture and you see a God who has done great things after great things after great things, and at the end he sends his son, and the last thing he says is, I will be with you always. Until the very end of the age. Would that not stir you to take another lap when you want to stop? If the Lord never gave us, if the Holy Spirit in the same way went silent, would the last word of Jesus be enough for you to continue to pray? Would the last word be enough for you to say, like, when this doesn't make sense, like Pastor Beck said, I will go on my knees again. When common sense and logic would say that I need to research, check my phone, call my friends, do the things that the world says, but my experience says that the Lord has not been overcome by this world, but he has overcame it. Is that not enough for you? Is that not enough for me? Because church, revival starts with another lap. Revival starts. I mean, I want revival in this place. When, since we've got here, you have heard us say that your kingdom come in Sammamish as it is in heaven. I have a prayer list that we give to our leadership prayer team. And every time I don't change the bottom one, the bottom section, talking about praying for our community, I pray for revival to come in this place. But revival comes not by taking one lap, but by taking another. And another, and another. And I remember this story of a gentleman named D.L. Moody. You might know him. He is the founder of the Moody Bible Institute. He's an evangelist and teacher. He cared so much for people that did not know Jesus. And so he felt inspired by the Holy Spirit and the Lord to write down 100 names of those who do not know Jesus. He wrote 100 names down, and he carried it every day of his life. And every day he prayed for those 100 names. And that he died, and at the end of his life, 97 of those people had come to know Jesus. And the last 3 came to know Jesus at his funeral. But don't just trust that story. Trust the word of God. James chapter 5 says this: the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, and that even as we are, he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. Now church, I am never going to be a proponent of name it and claim it theology. You will never hear me say that you pray it and it will come. I am not a field of dreams, build it and they will come type of person. It is not what scripture says. But you know what scripture does say? This scripture right here is that prayer has power. And I think we have forgotten that. I think we have so far gone away from the name it and claim it because we see the hurt and the damage it does, but we forget the fact that prayer has power. And he says the righteous person, Elijah was righteous, but he wasn't sinless. You and I are not perfectly righteous. We are sinful. But yet, when we pray, the Lord will move. Your prayers, not because you are good enough, but you are sons and daughters of the Lord Most High. The King loves the citizens of his kingdom. He wants his people to come and to pray. Many of you remember the Asbury Revival that happened years ago, that it went viral and that people from around the world flew to experience the revival that was happening. It's something that we hadn't seen in decades, and they wanted to experience it for themselves. But you know what happened before the revival? People were praying. And they had been circling that revival would break out in their school. Just their school. Not the world, but they had prayed and they believed that God was moving them to pray that revival would come, and so they prayed. Tyler Stanton, a pastor in Portland, prayed every day in the summer before his eighth grade. He prayed for every student on his eighth grade roster, circling the school, his middle school, that he felt God wanted to call him to start a group after school talking about Jesus. And at the end of the year, a third of his classmates were attending and came to know Jesus. Pine Lake Covenant Church was taking laps around this building during COVID, praying for what God was going to do next. We were in a season of transition, and we're experiencing, what does God want to do? And so their answer was, let's circle this church. So they invited people to come and to circle. And I believe that we are here today because those people circled this church. I believe you are here. You weren't maybe here before, but you are here now because of those who are praying for you before you came. I was talking to a couple this morning who were here when this church started, who gathered together because they believed that God wanted to do something here. And they prayed. And I believe you and I are here because they took another lap and didn't stop when it didn't make sense. Friends, revival doesn't happen through catchy sermon series, through viral videos, through writing the next Times bestseller, to having an award podcast. Like, these are not the way. God moves because his people pray. And it gets me into the core, and it hits me saying, like, Austin, you want things to happen, but are you willing to pray until it does? Are you willing to pray days, weeks, months, years, decades to take another lap until it happens? Are you willing to pray for revival until it happens? And I look at myself and say, I don't know. Because when I look at my phone, I get reminded that my Duolingo says that I've missed 375 days. I don't know. Church, I'm being honest, I don't know. But my desires of my heart and the desires of the Lord to see people come to know his grace and mercy, and it asks me, what are you going to do? And I need to pray. I need to take another lap. We need to take another lap. There are things that are happening in your life and you wonder, like, why, God, is it moving? And my asking is, like, how long have you prayed for it? Have you prayed and then given up? You want revival in your family? Continue to take another lap. Circle it around your hand. Family, circle life. Circle life that it comes infused by the Spirit of the living God in your family, in your life, in your schools, in your workplaces, in the grocery store. Whatever it is, circle it. Because he is with you. Because the local church is the hope of the world. Because you are the salt and the light. Because you are his witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. My prayer is, and my heart and my conviction is, Austin, if you had never another word from the Lord and the Holy Spirit, my prayer is that the last word would be enough. Go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. And remember that I am with you to the very end of the age. The last words of Jesus. Pray. Pray that people would come to know the Lord. And so as this year, this series, we have been giving you prayer practices to expand your understanding of what it looked like to pray. And to pray in different ways, maybe that you haven't done before. And so this week, what we're going to encourage you to do is to go on prayer walks. Or if it's something that you feel like you can't do, we call them prayer circles. In the same way that D.L. Moody didn't walk circles around the list, but he prayed circles around the people that were on the list. Prayer walks are an incredible thing that remind you that the body and the soul, the body and the spirit are not disembodied, but they are one. And so the prayer practice, if you've never done it, prayer walks is simply you're choosing a place, you're gathering a group of people or doing it alone, and you start circling. You start circling. And you start praying. And every time you take a lap, you continue to pray. And sometimes it might be as hard to be like, I don't know what to pray. And prayer is a practice of not only speaking, but listening. So maybe if you're wondering, like, what do I do with multiple laps? Maybe you pray one lap and you listen one lap. You pray one lap and you listen one lap. But there is power in praying circles around places. Maybe it's around your neighborhood. Maybe you do a loop of just the 8 houses that are nearest to you. and you look like a fool. I wonder what Tyler Stanton looked like in the summer, walking alone around his middle school looking like a fool. But often, God used the fools to shame the wise. God uses the fool to bring revival in places that would never happen. So church, I'm asking you, the places that you want to see revival happen in your lives and happen in this place, in this city, are you circling them? Are you walking around them? Are you doing what the Lord had called his people to do? To say, not, don't stop, don't just pray for, pray through. Continue to walk. Continue to pray. When you want to stop, take another lap. When you feel like it hasn't been answered, take another lap. When you feel like the Lord is no longer speaking to you, take another lap. When the person you've been praying for decades says, I don't think I will ever come to have the same faith you do, pray another circle around that person. When you or somebody you know is dealing with anxiety and depression and it's debilitating, pray a circle around them. When you're wondering what God wants you to do next, pray a circle around it. Walk. Pray. Revival in your life. Change happens in your life, not because you do all the right things, because you pray. I want to see God move in and through Pine Lake, but I don't think I've been willing to pray enough for it. No strategy is going to make this place blow up like the one that prays. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, you have filled this room because you said that you are with your people. You have promised that when your people gather, your presence is there. Because we are praying to you. So Holy Spirit, I believe you're speaking, but that we need to listen. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us this morning? What word do you have for us? Holy Spirit, search our hearts and the deep desires of what we want and ask us, are you willing to get on your knees and pray for it and pray through it? Lord, to you be the glory forever and ever.